Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour. A lot of information tonight, and I'm going to take a very different attitude and tact on talking about all of the things going on today. I'm not going to talk anymore about the past issues of coronavirus. I'm going to talk about the future and what you should be doing, because everybody right now is kind of sitting around waiting. And now is the time to put things into action for the long-term future of you and your family. Very simply, the government has really messed up. They've been the error on top of error on top of giant error. Now they're going to try and stick unbelievable debt on top of you and your kids. they have not done a good job. They've not been good stewards of you, the people. So with that in mind, I'll just make a few quick comments. There's some very good videos out there. Dr. Andrew Kaufman. Dr. Andrew Kaufman, he's an MD. He's a clinical psychologist in his current practice, but also a trained medical doctor, and he's done some excellent work exposing this coronavirus baloney. And something I've been saying all along also is that the test that they're using is not a coronavirus test even. It's called PCRs. And this test has been misused by the medical community to misdiagnose cancer, all kinds of, it's simply an elevated level of of basically enzymes in your system. And it's called amplification, but basically it's a way of measuring certain components in your blood. And it's really an invalid test. It has all kinds of errors. You could have, for example, just a quick example, you could have an infection, your PCR count would go up, and then you would be diagnosed as positive for coronavirus. And as I said last week, they're mixing terms, coronavirus and COVID-19, which is this supposed new coronavirus. But they're also labeling everybody and everything as dying from this so-called virus. But anyway, listen to Dr. Andrew Kaufman. Go to YouTube, find his videos. He's done a number of interviews. Very good information. I'll just go in order. These are kind of out of order in logic order, but I'll just go through my list here. The Small Business Administration is giving out loans, and at first they were going to be low-interest loans to businesses. Well, let me tell you something. The last thing a small business needs in time of financial crisis is a loan. You know, and a loan to borrow the money to pay your employees, that's not good business. That is not a good business practice, and that's all they're doing. They should be giving the money away, saying, here, take the money. It's free. You don't have to pay it back. We're just putting this into the economy. But you get to double pay because these trillions of dollars of so-called benefits, like the government is this tremendous benefactor. No, the amount of money is about $80,000 in debt per person. So if you have a family of four, that's $320,000 the government just piled on top of you and your family, and you're going to get about $3,000 out of that for a family of four. Doesn't sound like a good deal to me. That's about 1% they're giving to you and putting 99% of the debt, giving that money to somebody else. Who knows where that money's going to end up, but you're going to end up having to pay for it, and it's going into somebody else's pocket. So this is a giant ripoff from beginning to end, top to bottom. And this is going to tie into my what do you do now message. So stay tuned. The government has stopped issuing passports. There are travel restrictions, of course, between countries. Other countries have ended giving out visas, passports, that type of thing, just waiting because their offices are not staffed, so they don't have anybody there to process these, but that's part of the plan. is to shut down any form of travel. Did you see the photos of the 3,500 cars that burned down in Florida? Gee, what would you do if you were a corrupt owner of, of a car rental outfit? You park 3,500 cars out in the middle of a field, and doggone, a little match just took care of that problem. Insurance company's going to pay for that baby, and ultimately you, because when things like that happen, the money's not free. The insurance company doesn't have any money. They're taking money from you. And so that's you're ultimately paying for those 3,500 cars, rental cars. By the way, when this is all over, you might get yourself a nice rental car for a pretty low price. But anyway, back to the PCR test. The PCR test is a scam. The numbers they're putting out are a scam. And the number of deaths they're putting out is there's no way of knowing. There's no way of knowing, but the number of sick people, the numbers they're putting out, definitely false information. And if there is a virus, which I think there is a virus that has been passed around in various varieties, as some people are saying, that the PCR test is not testing for the people that do have it. So it's a ripoff on both sides. It's a two-edged sword, and it's going to cut both ways. Just want to mention also on SSLs, secure socket layer. What a ripoff! If you've tried to get to my website this week, for the past week since my last show, you couldn't get there because of we don't really know why. Quite a few people trying to investigate from the inside, from the outside, but all of a sudden, all my web pages went down. Doggone, do you think I'm pulling some messages here that the people in charge, the good old CIA boys up there and Langley, don't want you to hear? Yeah, I'm hitting it right on the head. As long as I'm talking about that Trump, I'm sorry, but I think the guy is really over his head because... he's good to run the country, good to run the economy, good to make deals with China, but this coronavirus deal, the guy is out of his element. And he's trying to do a good job. I got to give him credit for that. And he's doing a lot better than the Hill of Beans would be if that devil woman were in there. Believe me, this thing, she would have opened up the borders. You would have virus crawling out your noses all over the place. But let me say this. I saw a news conference this past week. Trump gets up there with his Navy and Coast Guard people, and he says, we are going to close down the border to all drug traffic. So he's got the Navy doubling down in the Caribbean and in the Pacific, where vast amounts of drugs allegedly come in over the water. And there apparently was a big step up in activity, according to their reports, in drug trafficking since this coronavirus deal broke a number of weeks ago. So anyway, he's going to step in with a lot of air traffic and just put a curtain up that nobody can possibly get through. The only problem is all of the drugs are coming into the U.S. in the air on C-110s and C-130s from the military, landing in military bases from the CIA. That's where all the drugs are coming in. So all Trump is doing, is getting rid of the competition. I mean, the guy's not too bright. For a guy that hangs around New York and Washington and knows these people, either he's looking in the other way on purpose or he's really stupid, because it's been known about since, for decades that the CIA is the main drug trafficker in the United States. They bring it in the air, and so he can put all the boats and ships and Coast Guard and drones, everything he wants out there in the Caribbean and the Pacific, but the main trafficker is flying right up the southern belt there, right up over Mexico, right into the airports down south, and bringing in the mother load of all drugs right under Trump's watch. He's not the brightest guy on the planet when it comes to things like that. Okay, just to mention here, I have said that, and this is based on quite a bit of information, that hydrogen peroxide, it's H2O2, it's a form of water, basically. It's a naturally occurring chemical, very similar to water. Water is H2O, two hydrogen and an oxygen. Hydrogen peroxide is two hydrogen and two oxygen atoms in a molecule. And hydrogen peroxide is used for topical cleaning. It can be used on surfaces to kill viruses. And the other thing is, if it were used in a vaporizer, I believe that that would be the simplest and most effective cure for this virus. And it also could be used as a preventative. People have been using this since 1928, when a doctor, and I don't have it in my notes right here, I forgot his name, but there's a doctor that has been, that discovered the use of this against the flu, the common flu, and people have been using this as a home remedy literally for almost 100 years. And so in 8 more years, it will have been 100 years since this started. But he would put a few drops in the ear. Now, this is the 3% hydrogen peroxide solution you can buy in the, in the drugstore, in the Walmart, or, any drugstore would have it also. It's not an over-the-counter item, and it's something that certainly could not be patented. It's a naturally occurring chemical. And it was found also, it's been used against malaria, which makes it very interesting, because the hydrochloroquine, which is being used effectively against people with coronavirus, or the COVID-ID virus, I should say more specifically, that is a malaria drug. And so hydrogen peroxide has been used throughout the ages as a natural remedial treatment against malaria. And there are plants in Africa that the people would eat which had a natural base of hydrogen peroxide. It had it in the plant. And so they would eat that plant as a method of controlling malaria. And, of course, over the decades, those people have become resistant. And some people believe that that's why there is very low concentration of the coronavirus in the very poor African nations, where malaria is common, because of the people taking the malaria of medications over the years. So they've built up a resistance, and the same drugs that are being used against malaria appear to be using effectively against the COVID-19 virus. Okay, so at any rate, that's just a suggestion. I'm not a doctor. And what's interesting, let me just say this about the use of something. Say somebody came to you and they were dying of thirst. And you, the way the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, would view this is that they would have what they might call thirst disease. Thirst disease is a symptom that you could die from. And if you gave them water, since water as a treatment for thirst disease is not approved by the FDA, you would be actually breaking the law for giving that person water. That's how ridiculous the FDA is. So the question arises, hydrogen peroxide is a naturally occurring chemical. It's found in plants. It's found in nature. You can produce it artificially and put it in a bottle at 3% for surface grade or topical use for cleaning, or you can buy it at 15 to 50% as food grade. And people actually drink this every day because it also boosts the immune system, something that's necessary for the fighting the coronavirus. But at any rate, if you were to prescribe this as a doctor, the FDA could come in and say, you are treating people, even though they can't prove that you would even have the coronavirus. You might be just sick. You might have the flu, something else that's giving you a positive reaction to their bogus PCR test. But they could say, you cannot give this to that person because it's not approved by the FDA. It's like the same exact example of giving water to a person dying of thirst because the person has thirst disease. You could not give that person water under FDA rules. That's how absurd this whole thing is. There's an argument for saying, let all the people out, let them mix socially. In fact, you want them to mix and spread the virus so that we get this thing basically a natural immunization. It's called herd immunization. And now when I was a kid, I had measles. I had chicken pox. I had mumps. I had all of them. I'm very healthy for it. When you get a shot, eventually a couple of years later, that shot wears off if it works at all. So they say, oh, well, you need a booster shot. What's a booster shot? Well, that means that the original one ain't working. When you have measles as a kid, you are immune for life because you are basically developing an immune. And women actually carry that immunity for their babies for a period of time once the babies are born. So natural immunity is certainly superior to vaccinations. And anyway, vaccinations do not do anything for people that already have, for example, in this case, COVID-19. A vaccination is not going to do anything for those people. You still need some kind of a cure for the people who already have it. Okay, so I'm not going to go into that tonight. But I want to get into my main science topic is, what do you do now? And this is some very hard-hitting advice, something you have not heard before by anybody out there. Where's the future? What is your future? I'll be talking about that in a minute. I was on the Butch Paul show, quite a few shows I've been on recently. Butch Paul, I was on his show Monday night. And that was the Dr. Butch Paugh, P-A-U-G-H, friend of mine, kind of a hard-hitting pastor there from, I believe he's in the, is it North Carolina or South Carolina? I can't remember. But anyway, he had some very good callers calling in on that show, very good discussion. And so that's why I'm not going to cover more details of the coronavirus on my show here, because I've already covered them. Go listen to those show. I was on John Moore yesterday morning. John Moore, my weekly appearance there, first hour. And then also Power Hour with Daniel Brigman at midday on, I believe it's the first hour of the Power Hour on Wednesday, the 8th of April, yesterday. So those interviews recently, I was also on, remember, the James Fetzer show a week earlier on Sunday, as a guest talking about these same issues. And really not a lot has changed. So I'm not going to repeat a lot of the things I talked about there. But I've been right on target on this entire topic since it began, exactly 100% on. And maybe that's why my web pages went down. All my communications got pulled down. And for many days I struggled. And then I've always have... I'm an expert in telecommunications, so I always have my own systems for backup, but sometimes, depending on where I'm at or what's going on, it's hard to get into a situation where I can have a good communication sufficient to carry a radio show as a guest. Here's something very important. Now listen closely, everybody. False billing. I've already been a victim of this. You will be too. And here's what I've always said with electronic billing. You are at the mercy of these companies. And I've already gotten two examples in the last week with my own billing. Two examples of just, these are standard things that are, you know, modern day life, you have your various monthly bills. Two of them already have ripped me off for the tune of a few hundred bucks. Now, you know, in this time of our lives, we all need every penny we can get. And, you know, I'm no different. I'm not missing meals, but I got to watch things. I got to be very careful. But two companies have inappropriately billed me. And these are a lot of these, if you're like me, a lot of your bills are set up on auto pay. And that's for convenience. And so you're not, you know, spending half your time sending out checks and bills. And it makes it easy for accounting at the end of the year. But two companies already have hit me with false billing. So watch your credit card statements closely. If you can, go into your credit cards and debit cards and put on those automatic, that's like an automatic notices type of thing, where if the card is charged for more than $50 or something like that, it notifies you right away by email or by text. And keep a close eye on your billing, because these companies, a lot of them now, do not have staff anymore. You call up that number and there ain't nobody there. So there's nobody to talk to, nobody to complain to. If you go online, they say, okay, put in a message online. Nobody gets back to you. This is something I talked about this years ago, if not decades ago, about electronic billing. That once that you got this, and then the company, who do you, especially in a situation like now, there's nobody that you can go to that's going to be able to respond for you. So, you know, you have to be your own kind of defender out there. And also during this time, it might be a good time to cut down on a lot of those monthly bills and just take a look at them and say, do I really need this? Do I need this? And what happens is modern life, we get so many bills coming in, and wow, it's just, especially if they start mischarging you. So be very careful, companies, especially with auto bills, or where they charge your credit card automatically, that type of thing, paperless. And that's the thing, too. A lot of people are paperless, so you're not getting a paper bill, a paper statement that states that, like, for example, you paid last month's bill. What if they came back and they said, you know, you haven't paid your bill for 6 months here. You owe us 6 months in arrears. And you go, well, wait a minute. No, I paid. Well, you know, how are you going to prove that? I mean, this is something that's very real. So, and that's what they want to move to. They want to move to a cashless society where you don't have any records. The bank has the records. Everybody else has the record except you. You're the one that's going to get belted with this. Okay, so the other day I flipped on the TV. I don't watch much TV, but sometimes I just turn it on just to, like, you know, take a mental break, so to speak. But I flipped on the TV, and guess what was on? Remember, this was Jim Carrey when he was pretty young. It was called The Truman Show. It was a movie about him, and when he was born, from the time he was born, they made a TV show about his life. And he was in this domed city, and everything, it was the biggest show on TV internationally. Everybody watched The Truman Show, and 24/7, they had him on camera. And he didn't know it. He thought his life was normal. I mean, his wife was an actor. Everybody was an actor on The Truman Show. And then they would have announcers, and they would talk about how great it was, or, you know, the different things. That, so anyway, but it was all fake. And I tell you, I was looking at that, and I'm going, you know, that's what's going on today. This whole television thing, can you imagine these radio shows and TV shows from the mainstream media just gushing over the ratings they're getting because of everybody watching TV? Everybody's at home, nothing to do. Let me tell you something. Turn off that TV. Turn that thing off and throw the box away. Disconnect it. Because what you're getting over the news media is pure propaganda, garbage, made up news. Okay, now I'm going to jump into my main science topic tonight of what to do now in a minute. But I want to reiterate, because I keep getting bombarded by this, about Comet Atlas. Okay, Comet Atlas, I talked about this on my March 26th radio show. I went into all of the details, but I'll repeat a few of them briefly here. Comet Atlas is not any kind of threat to any planet, let alone Mercury. Not to Mercury, not to Earth, not to anything. It's going to be a bit of a light show, but that's all. And so all of this hype and what we call fear porn that you're encountering on the internet, and that's all it is, it's just hype. And so also you can go to my Patreon channel, and it'd be nice if some of you joined that. It's just getting started, but it's called patreon.com/JMCCSCI, same as my short URL to my webpage. Once again, patreon.com/JMCCSCI. Go there, and I have a write-up there, and point that other people to that also. If they go, oh, hey, do you hear this? Comet Atlas is coming in. It's, you know, all of this whatever negative stuff they've heard. Then just point it out to them that McCanny's got the real information here. He's a true scientist. And he's, you know, if there was something dangerous, I would tell you. But there isn't. This thing is benign. It's going to come in. It's going to whip around the sun and go out. And it's going to be a bit of a light show. That'll be nice. And I hope it develops a sunward spike, because we're going to see this broadside. And it could be so bright that you could see it in the daylight, in the daylight sky. And it'll be also an early morning comet. So you got to get up early before sunrise, and you'll see it up in the sky. And that's the time right before sunrise, on especially around May 31st, you'll be able to see it. And hopefully at that point, its closest approach to the sun, you will be able to see that baby pop out a nice, brilliant sunward spike, and maybe even interact with the sun. We'll get some nice flaring off of the sun. And of course, I'm not going to repeat all this, but it's not, I repeat, it is not a danger to Earth or Earthlings or any of the other planets. I've heard people said, oh, it's supposed to crash into Mercury. No, not at all. No, it's not. It's not even, Mercury is going to be on the far side of the sun from this object when it whips around the sun and it goes out. It's only going to spend a number of hours as it passes down through the ecliptic. It's coming in from the north. It'll pass around the closest point to the sun, through the ecliptic, and then whip back out going down. And it's only going to be there a couple hours. And it's not going to align with any planet in the solar system in any gravitational or electric manner, nothing. And so I hope that we have a nice light show out of this, and I hope that millions of people watch the sunward spike, because the whole point is we're watching this comet from the broadside. Imagine you're looking at an old sailing ship, and you're looking at the side of it, and imagine that bowsprit, that big pole that comes out the nose of the ship, is the equivalent of the sunward spike. So you're looking at the side of it, and what scientists are going to try and tell you is that sunward spike is actually in the opposite direction. But because you're looking at the side of it, it would be like somebody telling you that you're seeing that bowsprit come out of the bow of the front of the ship, and they're trying to tell you it's coming out the back of the ship. That's what standard science is going to try to tell you. And it's false. It's a lie. It's always been a lie. The first comet that really exhibited a good bright sunward spike was Comet Aaron Rowland. I believe it was in 1957, if I have the year right. I believe it was. It's in one of my books. But anyway, it was observed to have a bright sunward spike. And that's where astronomers said, well, can't have that. That must be a type 2 tail in the opposite direction, and it's only an optical illusion. Well, no, it was a sunward spike. And now we've seen many, many, many comets with sunward spikes. And so that is the electron beam. That's part of the plasma discharge comet model. It's a characteristic of the plasma discharge comet model, and it's something, especially these small, bright comets that come in and get relatively close to the sun is going to allow us to see this. So I hope the whole world gets to see this, and then flip your nose at NASA and the so-called Dirty Snowball Comet model. I saw somebody sent me this. I mean, these clowns at NASA have no shame at all. A number of years ago, the European Space Agency landed on a comet called, basically the abbreviation is 67P. But the European Space Program Rosetta mission had an orbiter around the comet nucleus, and then it had a lander. And so anyway, these clowns at NASA pick up some footage, they say it was footage, of the comet nucleus, 67P, and it's like snowing on the nucleus. I'm like, no. First of all, some of the streaks on the camera were due to cosmic rays. It was a proton storm from the sun. But then they had it look like actual snow falling, like, you know, how snow falls, kind of fluffs down, kind of, you know, very slowly because snow is light, and then kind of fluffs down in the Earth's atmosphere. And that's what it looked like. It was like somebody photoshopped this 3-second clip and put it up there as the astronomy picture of the day from NASA. I mean, what are these people thinking? They, you know, they have nothing to do over there. It must be some of that that Jamaican funny weed or something. And maybe they're growing it in one of the laboratories out at JPL. I don't know, but these guys are Looney Tune. Anyway, okay, enough of that. But just to repeat, Comet Atlas is not any kind of threat. If people are saying, oh, no, they read something on the internet, go to my Patreon page, and I have a write-up there. It's patreon.com/JMCCSCI. And or go to my March 26th, my weekly radio show, this same one. It's archived on my webpage. Just scroll down to the center column, and it says the archives. They're free. You can listen for free. It's the March 26th, my show, not the paid cast, my weekly radio show. March 26th is where I talk about Comet Atlas. It's somewhat in the middle of the radio show. Okay, enough of that. Boy, I'll tell you, there's so many Looney Tunes running around out there, jumping up and down, screaming. It just, you know, and half of that is government-induced because they want chaos. That's what they want. They want chaos, and unfortunately, too many people pick up on it. And I have people that send me this stuff, and they say, well, it was just joking. You know, it's like, no. I'm here to educate you people on this baloney. One of my first and second paid casts in the whole series, going back to August of 2016, was how should you question and interpret what you see on the internet, on YouTube. There are so many nutcases running around YouTube. I was on the Jeff Rentz show. It was probably about a month ago, maybe a little more, maybe a month and a half ago. And Jeff asked me, he said, Jim, how come your material is banned from YouTube? He has a legitimate question. We were talking about that. But basically, you know, with all the garbage and misinformation and stupid science and, you know, just idiots and NASA, you know, ridiculous science on YouTube, why do they block me from having YouTube content? Or if you go to any YouTube thing and you say, oh, you should go listen to Jim McCanney on this topic, it will be taken down immediately. So what are they afraid of? Jeff was asking me on the air. He said, Jim, what's the deal? Well, you know, because I'm giving people real information. They want all that garbage out there. They want all the misinformation. If you're in that case, you're welcome at YouTube. They'll pay you money to be there. You know, they want all the misinformation you can find there. As I always said, if you want to fix your bicycle, go to YouTube. If you got a flat tire, if you want to fix your toaster, you know, or if you want to make a rocket out of your toaster, go to YouTube. You know, there's plenty of stuff there like that. But don't go to YouTube for science. That's just what you're going to get. You're going to get a load of garbage is what you're going to get. And that's why I have my webpage. Go to my webpage, and that's where you're going to get real information. Okay, on to the main science topic. And this is really, really, really important. All you've heard about for the last month is coronavirus and the death toll and the million people in the world have contracted this disease and the hospitals are overrun. And then, by the way, you get stories of people actually going to the hospital and there's nobody there. There's nobody in the parking lot. There's no ambulances going in and out. There's no patients dying. They have a semi-trailer there that they say is filled with dead bodies, and it isn't. It's just fabricated news media. And I myself, I'll just one last comment. I myself have done investigative, basically investigations right into the emergency rooms at the biggest hospitals in some of these cities where supposedly there's thousands of people in cases and it's a war zone and everything else. And to the people who work in the ER, there's nobody there. There's nothing there. They have in some of these, the ER head nurse, I got the direct information. They haven't had a single case in some of these big city hospitals where they're supposed to be the epicenter of, you know, it's the war zone. It's all fabricated bullshit. I'll just say that. I don't like to use terms, but I can't think of a better term to use. It's all fabricated baloney. Ain't nothing there. And, you know, the numbers and all of that, it just, and if you don't, if you want to know for yourself, go down there. Go to New York. Go to the hospital and try and find out. Now, this, I should mention this too. I was on the Pastor Butch Power Show the other night. And during the break, we were chatting. Pastor Butch and I were talking on the break. And I said, let's do this. When we come back from break, the second half hour of the show, let's put a call out on the air. And let's see if there's anybody out there that knows anybody that has this coronavirus thing. They die, you know, sick in the hospital, whatever. And quite a bit of time went by and nobody called in. Finally, one guy called in. He said his son-in-law was diagnosed and he was sick. And he was kind of sick, wasn't like real sick. And then he talked about some guy who was a judge that was diagnosed as positive. And my comment was, well, if he used the test, the standard test that they're using, it's the PCR test, and that does not tell you if you have coronavirus. So these people may have been sick with, who knows, pneumonia. It could have been coronavirus, but maybe not. We don't know. We don't know. But only one person out of, you know, 100,000 people listening called in. And we were sincere. We said, we said, don't call in. For a little while during the show, we said, don't call in unless the only people we want to hear from are people that actually know somebody. And let me use an example here, statistically. Back in the Vietnam War days, I lived through that. I was in a college when that was going on, and then when I was out of college, it was still going on. But, I mean, everybody knew there was 55,000 people dead from the Vietnam War. And even early in the war, when there was, you know, 2,000 and 5,000 and then 10,000, those kind of numbers, everybody knew somebody, some family or relative or somebody down the street or somebody from your high school. They knew someone that was affected by deaths in Vietnam and in the Vietnam War. And so that was with, you know, 20,000 people or something like that. And here you're talking hundreds of thousands of people, 250,000 people in the United States supposedly have this disease, yet nobody knows anybody that's had it. Do you know somebody? Look around at your whoever you're listening to this. Ask them, do you know anybody? I have yet to find anybody that knows anybody that knows anybody that knows anybody that has had this or has it or anything. So the numbers should be, it should be like, you know, there should be, you know, one out of that, those kind of numbers literally would give you about, for the population of the United States, it'd be about like one in every 1,000 people would have this. So how could you have a radio show like I was on a radio show with, say, you know, I don't know how many listeners Pastor Butch has, a lot more than I do, but, you know, 100,000, 200,000 people listening, and not a single person knew anybody. That's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. Everybody should know at least a handful of people that is affected, or the guy down the street, or somebody where you were working before this thing started. You would know lots of people that are affected, or somebody's family, or something. I mean, it's one out of every 1,000 people. That's a lot of people, supposedly. And nobody knows anybody. So, I mean, if you took 100,000 people, they should know literally, collectively, millions of people that have this. And nobody knows anybody. Do you see what the problem is here? Okay, so anyway, what do you do now? What on earth do you do now? Clearly, the government, let's look at some basics here, some real solid basics. The government cannot manage this. You have weasels like Fauci and the Center for Disease Control and the WHO, total incompetence or malfeasance. Malfeasance is where you do something bad on purpose. And so, I mean, you take your pick. Are they stupid? Are they incompetent? Or is it malfeasance? Doesn't matter. The government cannot take care of you. Number one. Are we going to all live off of the government dole here for months and all through the summer? We're coming up on springtime. Look at the time of year it is. It is April. This is April 9th today. April 9th. Where are we going to go? This is springtime. This is time, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, moms and pops, everybody in between, to get your butt out of the city, buy a piece of land, get there, and start planting your own crops, get some chickens, get set up, and by fall, you should have your butt completely independent, okay? Now, how do you do that? You just go do it. You just go do it. Have water, food, energy, independence. It might be kind of thin that first year, but just imagine, you got it a lot better than imagine the pilgrims that came to the United States. And don't worry about everybody else that doesn't want to do this. Everybody else wants to stay in the city and or that town and whatever. Let them do it. As far as you're concerned, get yourself a piece of land. Get out there. Get some seeds. Cancel your accounts. Cancel your taxes. Write to the IRS and tell them, hey, I ain't part of this deal anymore. I didn't authorize Congress to take out $80,000 in my name or $320,000 in my wife and my name and my two kids. No, we didn't authorize this. This is baloney. And then you give me a couple thousand dollars and we're supposed to be happy about this? No, 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 no. At this point, you just say no. You move, you get yourself some land, get yourself armed, and this is it. This society as we knew it ain't coming back. Let me just say that again. I want to make this perfectly clear. And you have an opportunity now to make a move, a permanent move, that's going to be for your benefit. And let me just give you another little example here. Before this thing hit, the people with a lot of money, more money than you could ever make or your family could ever make in all of your lifetimes put together, These are people that were millions, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in, you know, the up in the valley, up in the, you know, the high-tech companies, whatever. And you know what they did? They went out and they bought a five-acre farm, hobby farm, and they built a little house on it, and they started getting animals and planting because they could smell something coming. And they realized with their hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars that, first of all, it was a pain having that much money because you got to be constantly – it's like the – if you want a good example of this, there's the old Gershwin Broadway musical, Porgy and Bess. And there's a line in there, one of the songs is, "I got plenty of nothing." And this, listen to it. It's old Gershwin, a great Gershwin tune. It says, "I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. Rich man got a lock on his door while he's out there earning more." So anyway, that's a kind of dug that out of the deep past there. But yeah, these people with a lot of money realized that all their money isn't going to do anything. So they bolted. They left. So my advice to you, what do you do now? And it's right now, today. When you listen to this, you look at your wife, you look at the kids and go, you know, we've been listening to this McCanny guy a long time, and he's been right time after time after time. Look at yourself. You make the decision. I'm not telling people what to do. I'm just giving you some good old friendly down south advice, back home type advice. Get your butt out of the city. Go buy a piece of property, whatever you can afford, muster up some money, get it together, become food, water, energy independent. And when you buy a place, make sure it's got water, it's got some trees, you know, a nice spring running through it, a nice place to plant a garden, some low black dirt area. You know, with a half an acre garden, you can grow all the food you could possibly can and store for winter and then improve on that. You know, buy yourself a chicken coop, chickens, eggs. Chickens turn bugs into eggs, keep your place nice and bug free. And, you know, have, I don't know, you just start. I'm not going to tell you all the things you should do, but you'll learn for the area that you're going to. You'll learn. You set up a catchment system for water, get some water filtration so you got clean water, some kind of an energy system. And like I say, it's going to be a lot easier for you than the pilgrims who busted into the Plymouth Rock and out there in the eastern Massachusetts, and they had nothing. They came in and, through a lot of hard work and Protestant ethic, work ethic, which means you work hard and everybody benefits, and that's where you got to go. That's where this whole thing's got to go. And you just basically, it's not like you can stand up and tell the government anything because they ain't going to be listening. They're not going to notice that you're just simply walking away. Bye, I'm out of here. Take what you got, get an independent lifestyle. That's what you should be doing now. Okay? Like I say, move to the country, get yourself some land, buy yourself an axe, get yourself some water containment system, do water catchment, buy some seeds, start planting. It's springtime, a couple weeks. It's time to plant the first squash and root type of plants. A couple weeks later, you start planting your first round of lettuce, and you can have a couple crops by fall of lettuce and greens, spinach. You start a window box. You put a nice greenhouse out there so you have late in the fall, you still have greens. Plant berries and the trees that will start producing berries and nuts in the future years. Teach your kids how to plant, how to harvest. It'll be a lot better for them there. Start to educate your kids at home. Get them out of those damn schools. Get them out of those schools. Get your kids out of those schools. They're just corruption. They're you know, they're teaching your little girls that they're boys. They're teaching your little boys that they're girls. Get your kids out of that filth trap and get them into your home where you can educate them. Just time to break out of this society and go out in the country, get yourself a place, and, you know, tell the tax man bye-bye. You know, arm yourselves, and because this has to be done on a mass movement, and people are going to do this. This is going to occur to people not only listening to my show, that some people are just going to go, wow, we got to get out of here. Because, you know, are you just going to wait for the next round of virus number two to come at you and then virus number three? Do you think this is going to end? Do you think everything's going to get back to normal after this? Do you think the government bailout is going to help out the country and all those airlines and travel industry and everything else? You really think that's coming back? Uh-uh. No, this was meant to take down this country. And you have to look at yourself in the mirror, look at your wife, look at your kids, and say, mm-mm, we're not going to sit around here and wait for the next wave of this, whatever they got planned, whether vaccinations, forced vaccinations, whatever it is. And let me tell you something, a healthy person is resistant to, this is one of the things that I've learned from watching this coronavirus thing develop. And I'm one of the persons that believes there is a virus. Dr. Kaufman believes there is a virus, a real one, called COVID-19. There are probably variations of it. It is a laboratory virus. It was developed, as far as we know, at Dietrich. It was released into many countries at the same time. But it is not, what we're learning is the American public is highly resistant to it already. And it's not the devastating virus that they thought it was going to be. Their original mathematical projections was there for it to be a million people dead already. And it ain't happening. They got a couple thousand, and they had to fudge that data. Those are people that probably had two or three. What they're finding in Italy, they had two or three other serious problems, pneumonia, cancer. And then when those people, you know, those people could get a sniffle and die, and they're being counted as coronavirus dead. So they're skewing the numbers because the plan, the hometown team, as I've said on radio shows, the hometown team is not doing very well. That's the New World Order. This is not going the way they wanted. And what their goal was, their end game was to get a needle in you and your family and your kids with a chip in it. And that chip goes in your arms, and that's what the 5G is all about, because the 5G can read the chip, and that's all coordinated. They're putting 5G in the schools. Get your kids out of those schools. They're going to tell you you need a vaccination before your kids can come to the school. And then they're going to have 5G to monitor them and to send signals into them and control them. No, this is not funny. This is no longer funny. This is serious business, and you better understand what you're up against. I'm telling you, get your butt out of the city. Get your kids out of those schools. Start to live an independent lifestyle. Just like the pioneers, start to take care of yourself. Communities get together, hard work, have your, a community where everybody, this is what the Incas did. Let me tell you what the Incas did. The Incas had a society in which everybody contributed 15% of their food product. This, everybody had a garden, everybody had a piece of land, and they contributed 15% of their food product to the common storage unit. And so, like the Protestant learned in the early settlements in the U.S., there's no welfare. Everybody works. Everybody works. Everybody contributes, and nobody gets to take out of the common pool unless they put their part in. Okay, and then if there are people actually in need, you take care of them, because it takes a community to raise a child. That's the old Indian adage, that it takes an entire community to raise a child. And so this is, I was foreseeing this a long time ago. That's why I'm developing my education program and my paid cast. And so that's something you should do too, is I believe, join my paid cast for a very low price. You get a lot of information and you can use that for educating your kids. It's not just science, it's a lot of other information also about the human spirit, about how to be a human being, etc. Okay, so Christian values, I think pretty much this radio station is called Worldwide Christian Radio. And I think the people that are listening to this, for the vast majority of it, have Christian standards. So there are some things that go with that. But the Incas contributed 15% of their food that they grew into the common pool, and then about 10% of their work. And so that's how they maintained the roads, how they interacted. The Amish would be a great model for people to follow. The Amish, where they build, they buy more land, they raise their kids, they're planning for the future, they don't get vaccinated, they educate their kids, and it's a family community effort. So anyway, that's a very good model for you to follow. They don't have hybrid food, they save their seeds, they're a closed community in that they can take care of themselves, and they're very healthy. Very healthy people. Okay, so anyway, just that's it. That's the end of my message. I'm going to talk a little bit about my webpage. I still have the Numana food there. People are still buying that. That's a good thing to get during these times. Some of the orders are taking a little while to deliver, but get in the queue and get your order in. Also, the water filters, the factory is still operating. Get your water filter elements. We don't have stainless steel containers anymore. We're out of all the stainless, so is everybody else. I'm the only person that has water filter elements for sale. All of the other, my competition, can't sell you a water filter because they don't have any, because they come from China or India. Mine are made in the factory in the United States. So go to my webpage. They're still the same price. And free shipping, can't beat that. And they're all-in-one JMCC GF filters. Okay, so also the containers. This is something that a lot more people might be interested in now, are the shipping containers. These are never-used shipping containers. You do not want to buy a used shipping container to live in or be in. These have been sprayed with very harsh chemicals that are in the corners, in the wood, in the floor. And that is leaching out constantly, very dangerous to your health. You do not want a used shipping container and to store food or to be in yourself. So that's why I sell brand new ones. The Wing Generator, my Patreon channel. I'm out of time. JMCCSCI.com is the webpage. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.